Okay, thank you. Yes, I work in Tallinn University, but I'm also long since affiliated with the Estonian Social Democratic Party. Some last years being supporting member, before that an active member, and that's the reason why I'm invited here. And one of my diverse backgrounds is political science, so I will mix some theoretical approaches and practical experience from inside and outside as observer of Estonian political landscape to this speech. So it will be some kind of theoretical framework and then the practical implications of what has happened and what is happening in Estonia at the moment. The Estonian party landscape has passed through quite diverse and sometimes controversial, sometimes logical, sometimes unlogical developments, mixing, merging, splitting and so on. In the very beginning, after just restoration of the independence, it was as diverse and non-logical as in Latvia and Lithuania, and almost everybody tried to create his or her own party. But then soon after it started consolidating and it formulated more or less ideological pathways, at least theoretically, and then now I will take put the framework. The classical division of ideologies is three: liberals, conservatives and socialists, and of course all they have gone through a very long development and changes. So today we don't speak about classical socialists, conservatives and liberals anymore, but rather the modern new approaches, new ideologies, something like modern social democracy, whatever third way or whoever it's being called, social liberalism, right-wing liberalism, Christian democracy and several others. And to my understanding, the formulation of Estonian party landscape has pretty much influenced by the international cooperation. That's something that has been touched in the first session. The bigger and stronger parties tried to find the partners in the West, and most of them did so. Our party, Estonian Social Democratic Party, was since quite very beginning affiliated with the Social International and also the Party of European Socialists, the cover that is affiliated now, and our members are in the European Parliament there. The other bigger party that has been in place, let's say, quite from the very beginning, also having passed through different mergings and splittings and so on, is today's Pro Patria Respublica, Isamaa ja Res Publica Liit in Estonian, which has had always quite a clear conservative background and also the international affiliation. And some 17 years ago, Estonian Reform Party split from this Pro Patria Isamaa Liit, but they took from quite very beginning the right liberal profile. And of course there are several, let's say, internal issues in this party, giving reason to me not to claim them as very ideological or let's say clear. A clear ideological party, but their ideological platform has been pretty straightforward. And in this respect, I dare to say that they are right liberals and they have this in their platform, this ideology, and they have followed this platform very decisively. There have been several other parties in Estonia. Some of them have disappeared, some of them have been merged with others. In last parliament we still had six parties, now we have only four in the parliament. There were Greens in very beginning of the new independence in early 90s, then they disappeared, they were merged with Centre Party. they came back in the last period from 2007 to 2011, and then they fell out of the parliament once again. The party as such still exists, but they are very much on the verge of extinction. So in principle, every party that is out of the parliament has very big difficulties to survive in Estonia. It is because of those this state support mechanism that was also mentioned in the first session. And state support is in principle granted only for those parties that are in the parliament, and then those who are out, they
2% they also receive.
Yeah, they do, but it's very small amount, and it's practically virtually not enough to support the party mechanism as such, and especially competing for the entrance to the parliament in the next period. So usually, if somebody falls out of the parliament, it's like a death sentence. It's you have very big difficulties to break out from this vicious circle once again. And then there was Rahvaliit, People's Union. They just now renamed themselves into what was it?
Estonian Right Conservatives.
Yes. They also fell out of the parliament once they were big and powerful. They were the biggest party in Estonia by their membership. And they still have many members in quantity, but their quality has been deteriorated very heavily, and they are now out of the parliament. Some quite decisive part of their brain trust has come over to us, to Social Democratic Party. And the rest, they now search for different strategies, how to survive and what to do. And then, of course, last but by far not least, we have our famous or infamous Estonian Centre Party, Keskerakond, which is a phenomenon in itself. First of all, what is their ideological background? In my lectures for political science, I called them Laia Haarde Partei, and I start to think how to translate it.
Catch-all party.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Which is something that, you know, promises something to everybody. And so their spectrum, at least in their practical activities, is from left to right, from poor to rich. But of course, they have specifically concentrated on some certain sectors in the society, which are first the Russophones, Russian-speaking population, more and more. And secondly, the pensioners and those who are poorly off. On the other hand, surprise, surprise, internationally they are affiliated with liberals. So they are also members, Justice Reform Party, with Liberal International, and their members in the European Parliament sit in the same group. So not in the same bench, but with deputies from Right Conservative, Right Liberal Party, Reform Party, and of course it's up to them how to define this. They say that they are social liberals, which in some part they are. This is one spectrum of their ideological platform. But as I told, they also promise different stuff to different segments of the society. At the same time, they flirt with some richest people, with some entrepreneurs. They have their sponsors, that they have some quite doubtful business sometimes. From one hand, it's very difficult to explain what's going on there. From the other hand, it's very interesting, at least for a political observer, a political scientist, to observe how this kind of party is functioning. So we don't have so clear split between two language communities in society as does Latvia, with exception of this center party that is actually getting more and more speaker for Russian speaking population. But this trend is now reversing now quite recently. Also the other parties, and also I'm happy to say that also Social Democratic Party is taking advantage at the cost of Russian speaking population, and there are some new members that one of them is also in the parliament, who are really bright guys. They speak fluent Estonian, and you couldn't even say that he or she is Russian without knowing the name. But at the same time, they have Russian names, and then they have popularity and credibility among the Russian-speaking population. And this is absolutely the best option to get also to increase the support in among the Russian-speaking population as well. I don't dare to say today that this trend is irreversible, but at least so far it's getting better and better. So I'm moderately optimistic that the center party shall not be the only one who is speaking in favor of Russian Russophone part of the community. Honestly said, I have nothing against center party, but they have their own problems. And this is a very long history, but I try to summarize it as short as possible. And their biggest problem is that they are very much centered among their leader, who is an old-fashioned, the kind of political animal, whose whole life is the politics, and then he's like struggling for power for every means. And they have a kind of personal cult in this party. Respective methods of so-called internal democracy, if you can call it as such at all. Some kind of democratic centralism that was in the Soviet time, you know, that everything is decided from top to grassroots, that direction, not that direction. And then those who think more liberally, more democratically, they are either marginalized or pressed out. One guy was thrown out from the party very recently, the one who tried to establish some more democracy in the party. And what is the problem for us, the Social Democrats, is that we lack the partners. The Social Democratic Party lack the partners to make coalition if the time is ready, mature for that. Because it is very difficult to find a common platform just on this, let's say, platform of democratic methods. To govern together, even now in the opposition in the parliament, there are difficulties between Social Democrats and this center party. Although I have to say that there are quite many reasonable deputies in the parliament at the moment, also the guys in the center party. So this center party, they need a thorough reform or I don't know, exchange of the leader. I really don't want. You know, I really don't accept anybody's death, but I'm afraid that nothing will change before this guy is dead, or I don't know, somehow, you know, being out of the politics before anything can really happen, a change in this party. But they really need it, because they have very strong potential, they have very many good, bright, you know, intelligent people that think in a democratic way, but they are marginalized because of this guy, this leader, and his closest camarilla. So the four parties in the parliament now are Forum, Pro Patria, who form coalition. We may say that they're right wing, and then Social Democrats and Center Party. That we may say in a very approximate way that they are left, or we are left. Okay, Center Party is not directly left. Even the name Center says that they are not left. But this could be a platform for coalition if they only could change somehow internally. And of course, I would love to see the return of the Greens sooner or later. I don't know how this would happen, because at the moment they are in very big difficulties, and then they can't organize themselves somehow so to win back the support that they had. Actually, the support that they had in 2007 general election was due to the fact that they were new force. They had just emerged and they were new. And this is one phenomenon in Estonian party landscape that everybody should take into account, that people are waiting for some kind of messiah coming from outside. Somebody who is new, who is not dirty, who has done anything wrong, anything bad. And the increase of the popularity of Social Democrats, which is at the moment, it was also mentioned in the morning session that very recently, and the first time in the history at all, Social Democrats were the most popular party in Estonia. According to one poll, it was just 1% before or over a four party, but they were first. We were first. And this phenomenon is very much explained by the fact that all the other parties have done something bad, something wrong. They are plagued by different scandals. Both center party, also Pro Patria. I will not talk about all the scandals. It's a boring story. But they all have their problems. Also, Reform Party. They have current that much. They are so arrogant. They somehow don't care about people anymore. And it's visible. It's hearable in every statement that comes from Prime Minister and the other ministers. People, they are some kind of lump and some kind of proletariat. They don't know. They don't care anything. So people are really tired and they wait somebody new. So Social Democrats at the moment are closest to this messiah, who comes from this time from opposition, haven't done anything long since, neither anything good nor also anything bad, which is more important. And so people are waiting that, okay, maybe they are the guys who can change this existing political paradigm. But I have to say that should some force organized from outside come and act once again as this new force, they could have very good chances as well, because then they are this messiah who comes from outside. So this is that's one factor that must be taken into account. What else? One thing I wanted to say also as a reflection for the morning session is that I very much agree with Peep in the argument that the economic factors should be concentrated on at the moment. I guess even not being political scientists, most of you have heard about the Maslow pyramid, the concept of the hierarchy of needs. Where you have you must first satisfy some basic needs like full stomach and clothes and warmth and some kind of security, and then come some other stuff like the other values like equality and environment and whatever. There are other theories based on this concept is Ronald Engelhardt's theory of post-materialism and so on, but they all have the same message. That first must be security and the basic needs, and then comes the rest. And definitely in today's Europe, and especially in the Baltic countries, these basic security needs are not satisfied. The big majority of the people of the population are in fear. They are in fear of tomorrow. They are in fear of their status, their economical position. What if they lose jobs? What if there is some bankruptcy? What if there is happening one or another? And these are the challenges that we must reply. We must be able to reply and to answer and to cover, to have answers or have solutions. And I'm far from the fact that the issues of gender equality or homosexual people and all of this are not important. Sure, they are important. And I have my definite preferences as well in these questions. And as all of you know, they are in line of our party's positions. But these are not the topics we must handle or concentrate at the moment. We must have answers to reply for this fears of the majority of population. About the social security, about the economic security, also about the hard security, of course, because the security landscape in the world is changing and not in favor of the Baltic countries. This is a long story, but if you have observed what's happening around you, you know what I mean. And when these lower levels of the Maslow pyramid are okay for most of the people, then we can move on with the other stuff, and then. Also, if you have, given this, the security for most of the people, then we are already in a stronger position and in bigger popularity, and we have a wider platform to present the other set of ideas, would it be the gender equality or the rights of homosexual people or whatever else, which is also part of social democratic ideology, and that's it. And I think that's all I wanted to say. There was maybe something else, but I can complete it later. So.